So where are we here? Top management. Here we're concerned about account control. I don't care if I sell them this thing. I don't want to get thrown out of this account. And you know what? You don't get thrown out. They don't actually physically take you and throw you out. They just decide, I'm never going to buy anything from you. I'm just never going to do it. But yeah, you want to come in and see me? Sure. You want to take meth lunch? That's fine too. You know. So what we want to do is avoid being the shutout. That's for sure. And be able to eventually get control of this account. Okay. This is, and incidentally, virtually every slide you'll see up here is a page. So if you're daydreaming for a few seconds here or something, and you just look, oh, God, where am I? You know, you can catch over here. But remember, I got my laser pointer here. I could do both your retinas in about 2 seconds. No, Louis said, don't hurt anybody. So I said, okay. Right. The Wheel of Fortune. Now, most of us have the Wheel of Doom. And for God's sake, I had the Wheel of Doom going on my whole life up until, you know, like I was probably 45 or something like that. What's the Wheel of Doom? Oh, my God, I got to give a talk tomorrow. I can't do it. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. We start spending more energy on why we're going to fail, and we automatically predict that we're going to fail by doing that. The Wheel of Doom. The Wheel of Fortune, on the other hand, the mind has a thought. And the thought is, I can't wait to give my presentation tomorrow. Mitchell's going to give me some techniques that are going to help me be better at it. Yes, that's the kind of positive attitude. And, you know, I've got things written down here. Here's interesting. Anybody know who Roger Bannister is? Bannister? Yes. Good. Nobody ran a 4-minute mile for time immemorial until this guy did it. And after he did it, in 1954, 34 other runners did it as well the next year. So it's got to do with what I think I can do. If I think I can't do it, guess what? You won't do it. You won't be able to do it. If you came here saying, I'm not going to learn anything, guess what? You're not going to learn anything. Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I got to let it out there. Yeah, I'm from Jersey, and I'm sorry about that. I haven't been here in a long time, though. Yeah, but that got me screwed up.
I think one of the things is and for me personally, I don't know if anybody else feels this, but we had so much experience when we were in the shops that if we made a mistake, we know how to fix it right away, or we saw it, or we were familiar with it, and we knew we had kind of a safety blanket where we knew we could out to get around it. And when you're going in, you're almost afraid. You're going to make mistakes, and the sooner you realize you're going to screw up in this job and say, hey, you know what, I screwed up, I ordered the wrong answer for you or something like that, you're better off.
Right. Because
you're not going to be 100% right.
Right. And I mean, I don't think any customer expects us to have all the answers. I mean, you know, I'm here going to do this program. Health, you know, I'm sure there's people in this room that are a lot better salesmen than I ever was or could ever be. But maybe you'll pick up a little something here that might be helpful, and that's the goal.
The important thing to what Mike's saying is it's not so important that you screwed up. It's more important how you recover.
Yes.
And when you recover and you show the customer that you're working hard to recover, don't forget about the screw-up.
And, you know, another thing is if everything goes fine, there is no bonding. Nothing bonds when everything is fine. Where it bonds is when there's a problem. That's when you got bonding.
That's one of the things that happened with one of my customers, and it wasn't even a mistake that I'd made, was they got some boring bars in it, the wrong screws in them. And I got on the phone, next day ratted them, say they're on my demo account, near 6 of them. If you ever run into this problem again,
screws, and they just see how you function when there's a problem. And let me tell you, there's going to be problems. I like the idea of making deposits in a checkbook, because there's going to be withdrawals, that's for sure. Okay, so we want to make sure we have a positive thought that, hey, I'm going to learn something today, tomorrow. I can be great at whatever I'm going to do. That sends that message to the body, and the body takes an action, and that's the Wheel of Fortune. Let's make sure we have the Wheel of Fortune. Let's move over to page 6. Successful selling, about the fourth paragraph down on page 6. Successful selling involves the systematic development and application of skills. And there's a list of some of those skills there. And you can get better at it. You practice them. We're going to talk about them. We're going to practice some of them here. We're going to give you a sales process to optimize these skills. Notice that box on the right. Types of intelligence. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, oh, this distributor, they don't know anything. There's probably something here that can help you with that you might have a lacking in. So maybe you're the smartest, technical, best guy out there, but this guy may be better at writing things down, or this guy might be better at following up, or this guy. So look for others where they can help you, not where, oh, he's so screwed up. You know, I remember, and that guy with the good commercial sense was Bill Starkey, by the way, worked for Seco on the East Coast.